Appaloosa Radio offers Hank's Murder. Based on an actual murder case, fictionalized for this audio drama.
I am Alan Hearing, a retired detective from the Orange County Sheriff's Department. I was the lead detective for the investigation of Henry Trifetti's murder. On August 12, 1974, we received a 911 call.
911 emergency operator. What is your emergency?
My son-in-law, Hank, has been murdered. His head has been cut clean off. There is blood everywhere. I mean everywhere. He was murdered.
What is your location?
13725 Meringside Way South, Fountain Valley, California. I am Leonard Tempes. My daughter Kayliani is married to Hank. He has been murdered. There is blood everywhere. Everywhere. Everywhere.
My team and I were on the scene in less than an hour. Mr. Tempes was right. Blood was everywhere. Someone had cut Hank Trifetti's head off. And, in what looked like the same blow, had also cut his left forearm in two. We were literally swimming in human blood. I brought Mr. Tempes into one of our patrol cars and began to interview him.
My daughter called me from the airport. She had just flown in from Hawaii where she had attended a family funeral. She had all three kids with her. Hank was supposed to meet her, but he never showed up. She called me to go over to their house and find out whether something had gone wrong. It is not like Hank to forget things. He really loves Kayliani and the kids. He's a very responsible guy. I went over there and used my key to unlock their front door. That's when I saw him. Blood everywhere.
I knew immediately that Mr. Leonard Tempes was not Hank's killer. Mr. Tempes was in his 70s, had a stooped back, and walked with a shuffle. Whoever killed Hank Trifetti was a massive man. I believe that Hank Trifetti had been killed with a single blow. One blow with a sharp weapon that both took off his head and sliced through his left forearm.
Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
Yes. Of course.
Please state your full name for the court's record.
I am Mrs. Kayliani Gail Trifetti.
Is Leonard Tempes your father?
Yes. Of course.
Are the wife of Mr. Henry Trifetti?
Yes, I was Hank's wife.
Mrs. Trifetti, did you love your husband?
Hank was one of those really terrific people. Kind. Gentle. Caring. Responsive. It was hard not to love him.
Could you tell the court how you met Mr. Trifetti?
It was in Honolulu in 1967. Hank was a naval officer serving on a nuclear submarine. I was the bartender, in a neighborhood place, close to the university. It was one of those, indoor-outdoor places, whose the walls were covered, with many hundreds of large tropical plants. Hank had an apartment in a high-rise, a couple of blocks away. He walked into the Popeye Penguin, that's the name of the place, and ordered a beer. He said he felt like he was in heaven, with so many green plants all around him. He said that he had just spent 71 days in the depths of the Pacific Ocean. It was like heaven to be around so many green plants.
What were your impressions of Mr. Trifetti?
He was a nice guy. Easy to talk to. He left me a nice tip. Said it was because I was a beauty among so much natural magnificence.
Did you and Mr. Trifetti date?
Yes. I remember going on 7 or 8 dates with him.
Did he take you to nice places?
Yes. Very nice places.
When Mr. Trifetti left for San Diego and his eventual discharge, did he do something special for you?
I don't know what you mean.
Did he let you stay in his apartment rent-free?
Yes. Until his lease ran out. I was there about a month and a half.
Did you live alone in that apartment?
I live there with my 2-year-old daughter.
Was there anyone else who lived with you?
My lover Malachi Taub also lived with us.
How long had you and Malachi Taub been lovers?
Since we were in high school.
Are you and Malachi Taub still lovers?
Yes.
Were you and Malachi Taub lovers while you were still married to Mr. Henry Trifetti?
Yes.
Did you and Malachi Taub conspire together to murder your husband, Mr. Henry Trifetti?
No, we did not.
In 1967, Lieutenant J.G. Trifetti completed his third and final tour of duty aboard the nuclear submarine USS James Monroe, where he served as the provisions and supply officer. After 71 days under the Pacific, he welcomed the return to the surface world by walking 3 blocks to a local bar called the Papaya Penguin. There he met a tall woman whose father was Portuguese and whose mother was Hawaiian. She told him that she had been a former swimsuit model who was now pursuing a degree in business administration at the university. She did not tell him that she was also married with a young daughter. In the course of our investigation, I interviewed Penny Griffith, who described herself as Kayleani Preston's best girlfriend. According to Ms. Griffith, it was Bill Preston who brought Kayleani into modeling. He was a part-time photographer who also operated his own travel agency. He organized a number of professional shoots with Kayleani as the principal model. He even sold her image to Hawaiian Airlines for their Within the Islands advertising. When Kayleani was 19, she married Bill Preston. A year later, Kayleani had their daughter. Penny Griffith insisted that Bill Preston was the child's father, but she emphasized that did not mean that Malachi Taub was not around. Kayleani and Malachi kept a torrid affair going. Even after her marriage to Bill Preston, a couple of months before she met Hank Trifetti in 1967, Bill Preston had hit Kayleani during a domestic dispute. That sent Malachi Taub through the roof. He found Bill Preston and beat him unmercifully. A month or so later, Bill Preston filed for divorce, giving Kayleani both his car and his travel agency business. Kayleani was not studying for a bachelor's degree in business administration. No, she was taking a community college course for her travel agent's license. She never completed that course, so she never became a licensed travel agent.
You asked about how my family came from Honolulu to Fountain Valley. I told you that for over 40 years, I had operated my own landscaping business. When I became older and could no longer operate the business, I decided to retire. However, I had not saved enough money. My wife and I had lived in the same tiny house since our marriage. Like many Hawaiian homes, it was quickly built from inferior materials. It was always needing repairs. Finally, a big company offered to buy our property. They were offering more money than I believed it was worth. So, we sold it. Then, I saw an ad for a seniors-only mobile home park in Fountain Valley. So, we bought a mobile home and moved here. Very comfortable. Still have money left over. Better off financially than if we had stayed on the island. Only a mile to the beach. Later my daughter Kayleani and our granddaughter came to live with us after she lost her job in Honolulu.
Mrs. Trifetti, you testified earlier that you had met Henry Trifetti while you were working at a bar in Honolulu. I believe that you said it was called the Papaya Penguin.
Yes. That is my testimony.
Then, later you reconnected with Mr. Trifetti in California. Could you remind the court about how you came to reconnect with him?
After I lost my job, I flew to California and temporarily lived with my parents in their mobile home.
Just to be completely clear, it would be more accurate to say that after your travel agency business closed.
Yes, that would be more accurate.
Please continue with what you were saying.
After my travel agency business closed, and I had no income, I came to California and lived with my parents in their mobile home in Fountain Valley. I saw a newspaper advertisement saying that Charlie's Produce Market was seeking cashiers. You may remember that it was a large, open-air market on Highway 39, heading toward the beach.
I do remember Charlie's Produce. It had been there for years.
I thought it might be a good place to work. When I submitted my application, I was surprised that Hank was managing the place. He remembered me and hired me on the spot.
Were you glad to see Mr. Trifitty?
Yes. And he was glad to see me. Within a week, we were dating again.
I understand that within 2 months, you were married.
Yes. That is true.
Did Mr. Trifitty buy you a large new house in Fountain Valley?
Yes. A brand new house. 2 stories with 4 bedrooms.
Did Mr. Trifitty ever tell about his plans to transform Charlie's Produce into something else?
Hank was fantastic when it came to making money. When we reconnected in California, he was already in the process of buying Charlie's Produce and remaking it into Hank's Gourmet Market.
Remaking it into Hank's Gourmet Market. Please explain more.
He enclosed part of the open-air market and added a meat market, a bakery, and a wine cellar. It became Hank's Gourmet Market. Finest fresh produce. Highest quality meat. Tastes superb.
I understand that this new market was a financial success.
Hank never talked finances with me. But he bought me new cars, expensive jewelry, and sent my daughter to a private school.
Sounds pretty successful.
He provided me with a very good life. Never denied me. He always gave me what I asked for.
A very good life. A luxurious home. New cars. Expensive jewelry. Whatever you asked for.
Yes. That is my testimony.
Do you believe that Mr. Trifitty loved you?
Yes. I think he loved me very much.
But, did you love him?
Yes. Of course. I bore him 2 wonderful children.
But you continued your love affair with Maliki Taub. You even made love in the expensive house that your husband bought for you. In the backyard pool, where your children played.
Yes, but.
Your husband was working hard at his business. You had lots of time for your affair with Maliki Taub. You'd ask your parents to babysit the kids, and then you'd have time for you and your lover. Lots of time. Henry Trifitty worked long hours. He gave you everything you wanted. You used him. Maliki Taub used him.
I loved Hank. Hank was one of those really terrific people. Kind. Gentle. Caring. Responsive. It was hard not to love him.
Mrs. Trifitty, I want to switch topics. To the topic of money.
I did not handle any of our money. Hank did all that.
But since his death, you have sold a number of his assets. You know the value of those.
Yes.
You have sold your home on Morningside Way, south in Fountain Valley. How much did you receive for that property?
I could not live there anymore with all that has happened.
Yes, but tell the court the amount of the sale.
I believe it was $295,000.
You have also sold Hank's Gourmet Market. How much did you receive for it?
I could not run that business. It was Hank's doing. The amount? Yes. That was $3.2 million.
And I understand you were provided an insurance settlement.
Hank had taken out a $1 million policy on his life. However, because his death was the result of an act of violence, the insurance company only paid half of that.
$500,000 then?
Yes. I think that is right.
If my arithmetic is correct, that comes to nearly $4 million. Mrs. Trifitty, it seems that now you are a wealthy woman.
Money is not important. My children have lost their father. Money can't replace that.
Thank you, Mrs. Trifitty. I have no further questions for you.
Initially, this was a very puzzling case. We had lots of blood, but no fingerprints. None of the neighbors had seen anything. Hank Trifidi had no enemies. He seemed to have a wife who genuinely loved him. All we knew from the autopsy report was that the victim was struck from above with a sharp, bladed weapon. The perpetrator was right-handed, probably considerably taller than the 5'10" victim. It appeared to be a single stroke, one massive stroke with a sharp weapon. The blow had been strong enough to cut through the victim's left forearm, raised in defense, and the victim's neck. One mighty blow. We believe that the victim was at home, working in his garden. Then he showered and was waiting for his wife to call him from the airport. We believe that the front doorbell rang and the victim opened his front door. The crime was over in seconds. We were puzzled. Then, a prisoner in the Orange County Jail called us and offered to trade information about the murder for a reduction in his drug-selling arrest charge. The informant was named Enoch Reynolds.
My name is Enoch Reynolds and this is my statement to the Orange County Sheriff's Office. It is true and complete. I know this guy who murdered his mistress husband. Hit him with a machete. Wiped him out in one blow. This guy is real big. He played professional football for the San Diego Chargers and he still lifts weights. I mean a lot of weight, like 600 or 700 pounds. This guy can be real mean. He is the director of security for the Palomino Club. He does stuff for guys. Guys. You know what I mean. This guy is named Malachi Taub. I've known him since high school, back in the islands. Ever since I've known him, he has had the same girlfriend. Her name is Galiani Tempes. Very tall. Really pretty. Nice smile. Great body. She used to be a swimsuit model. Anyway, Galiani married a guy who owns a grocery store. A really nice grocery store on Highway 39 on the way to the beach. The guy who owns the grocery store buys her nice things, like cars and jewelry. They've got some kids and a big house with a pool. Even though she's married to the grocery store guy, my guy, Malachi Taub is still doing it to her. He calls her his rich bitch. He thinks he owns her. Well, I got involved because I owe Malachi Taub a lot of money. He financed a deal I made, but I never paid him back. The deal went sour. I didn't get the stuff I ordered. I could not pay him back. He called me some names and threatened to break some bones. So, I tried to stay away from him. Anyway, he calls me. Says he'll eliminate my debts if I help him with something. I agree. It is better than getting dead or in the hospital. He tells me he wants me to drive him to the grocery guy's house. He wants to use my truck. Says nobody would notice two worker guys in a truck. So, on the day he wants to do it, he asks me to come to his house. There I see that he is wearing gray coveralls, you know, like he is a car mechanic. Then, in my truck, he covers the seats, the dash, and the floor with plastic trash bags. Everything is covered in these bags. Tapes them down, so they don't move. Then, he tells me to drive over to the grocery guy's house. I see him walk up to the door. He has a huge machete, like twice the size you usually see. Then, a moment or so later he gets back into my truck and says, "Drive in fast." He tells me to go to the Alamitos Bay Marina. There he goes into one of the showers, takes off the coveralls and comes out with a wad of clothes, tightly wound around the machete. He tells me to take the bundle and get rid of it in the ocean. I ask him if he needs a ride. He says no, Mark is going to pick him up. I don't want nothing to do with that machete. So, I do what he told me. Signed, Enoch Reynolds. This is an addendum to statement by Enoch Reynolds. Present during statement, Detective Allen Hearing. In my earlier statement, I forgot to mention some pertinent points. First, Malachi Taub wore cotton work gloves all of the time he was in my truck. Never took them off. Second, I disposed of the bundle beyond the breakwater for the marina. Tossed them into the ocean. Third, Malachi Taub was wearing shorts, sandals, and a blue Dodgers baseball cap the last time I saw him. Fourth, I have not spoken to Malachi Taub since I drove him to the grocery guy's house. Signed, Enoch Reynolds.
I thought that Enoch Reynolds' statement would clinch the case for us. Unfortunately, it did not. Our sheriff's dive team spent 2 full weeks looking for the bundle that Enoch Reynolds said he deposited beyond the breakwater. They found nothing. Our crime scene investigators thoroughly searched Enoch Reynolds' truck for any possible traces of blood. They found none. Most importantly, Enoch Reynolds was not able to testify at Malachi Taub's trial. He was dead. After making his statement, the DA decided to reduce his bail and allow him to be free on bond. Within the same week, I learned that Enoch Reynolds had been killed while riding his motorcycle. He hit a bridge support, doing 125 miles per hour. What was left of him was tested for drugs. His body was filled with heroin. No murder weapon. No trace blood evidence. No witness. Therefore, no case. Still, the DA pushed the case. He kept Malachi Taub in the county jail for nearly 3 years, hoping that a jailhouse stooge would report overhearing Malachi Taub talk about the murder. We never got a buy. Malachi Taub never talked about the murder. Not a peep.
Mr. Taub, just to be completely clear, you are aware of your constitutional right to remain silent. You are under no compulsion to testify in this trial.
Yes, I am aware of my constitutional rights. Nonetheless, I am voluntarily choosing to testify. I believe in my innocence. I do not fear questions.
Mr. Taub, please tell the court how tall you are.
I am 6'6", without my shoes. 1 inch taller with them.
Thank you. Please tell the court your approximate weight.
On a good day, I maintain it at 265. Sometimes I pig out and put on some pounds.
I understand that you played professional football.
I played 1 season for the San Diego Chargers. Then, I blew out my knee. They cut me from the team. Hard to chase down quarterbacks with only 1 wheel.
Mr. Taub, have you ever used a machete?
I'm Hawaiian. They send us to the sugar cane fields when we're 6 or 7 and expect a full day's work from us.
I take that as a yes. Mr. Taub, have you ever murdered a man using a machete?
If I were to murder a man, I'd use a gun, not a machete.
Why not a machete?
A gun is quicker and a whole lot easier to hide.
I see. I repeat my original question. Have you ever murdered a man using a machete?
I have never murdered anyone. No one. Not with a machete. Not with a gun. Not with any other weapon. Not with my hands. No one. Ever.
Mr. Taub, here is a document. Please read the first line.
The first line of the document that you have just handed me reads, "My name is Enoch Reynolds, and this is my statement to the Orange County Sheriff's Office."
Mr. Taub, do you know Enoch Reynolds?
Yes. Enoch and I went to high school together back on the islands. He played football with me. Skinny guy who thought he could play tight end. In practically every game, he would get really smashed, knocked around by the defensive guys. He spent more time on his backside than he did blocking.
Thank you. Can you tell me why Enoch Reynolds would make such a statement?
Sure. It was for him a twofer. 1. He got out of jail and, 2. He kept me from collecting the debt he owed me. But, it was a lie, and he knew it was a lie. I wasn't in Fountain Valley when Hank was killed. I was in LA, at Dodger Stadium, with some of my Hawaiian Hapa boys. We like to hang out on the first base side, just beyond the infield. Not the best seats, but great Duck Heine.
So, you admit that Enoch Reynolds owed you money?
Yeah. He borrowed $20,000 from me.
That is a lot of money. Did he tell you what the money was for?
No. He never said.
Well, he had been arrested for dealing in drugs. Could the money that you lent him been used to finance a drug deal?
I do not do drugs. I do not sell drugs. I am not involved with drugs.
You have not answered my question. Did Enoch Reynolds borrow money from you to finance a drug deal?
I never asked him why he needed the money.
Why didn't you ask him?
I do not have to know why someone needs money. My interest rates are very high. If they are willing to pay my rates, there is no need to ask them what the money is for.
What was the rate that you charged Enoch Reynolds?
25%, due and payable in 60 days.
Did Enoch Reynolds sign a contract?
Yes. I'll have my attorney provide a copy of the contract to the court.
So, it is your claim that Enoch Reynolds made a statement to the Orange County Sheriff's Department implicating you because in that way he could avoid repaying the loan that he owed you?
That's not just a claim. That is the truth. It was a twofer. One, get out of jail. And, two, avoid repaying the large debt he owed. Not a bad lie.
You say you were at the Dodger game. Who was pitching?
Andy Messersmith for the Dodgers, and some kid the Mets just brought up from the minors. I think his name was Rogers. He had a pretty good arm. Dodgers got a bunch of hits, but then this kid would throw a double play pitch and then end the inning.
Who won the game?
The Mets did. I think it was something like 3-1.
What happened in the first inning?
I don't know. The Mets got 2 runs, but I don't know how.
Why not?
Well, I had been drinking some beers before the game, and I had to go to the bathroom and relieve myself. You know what I remember most about that game? I remember hassling Ed Crane Poole, the Mets right field guy. That guy was quite a trip. Lot of fun to give him the razz.
After Malachi Taub testified, the defense put 6 of his Hawaiian Hapa buddies on the stand. All swore that he had been at the entire Dodger game, never leaving the park. Mark Rake also testified that he had picked him up at Malachi's own house and they had driven together to the game. He claimed they were together, never out of each other's sight, from noon until about 9 o'clock that night. As I said earlier, the prosecution did not have a murder weapon. There was no trace blood evidence. There were no witnesses. And 6 of Malachi Taub's island buddies swore that he had been at the Dodger game. There was, therefore, no case. I still remember Malachi Taub's testimony. In much of it, I believed he was literally poking fun at the prosecutors. You may not remember, but back then Ed Crane Poole was a perpetual joke for the late-night TV comedians. For their first few seasons, the New York Mets were the worst team in baseball. After every loss, Ed Crane Poole would make a joke about how bad the team was. The late-night comedians picked up on his jokes and then they created their own. Just saying Ed Crane Poole's name often generated a laugh. The prosecution tried to place Malachi Taub at Henry Trifidi's house at the time of the murder. However, Malachi Taub was more than ready for their questions. His alibi was unshakable. How did he spend the afternoon in question? He spent it hassling Ed Crane Poole. It took the jury only 2 hours to acquit Malachi Taub on all charges: first-degree murder, conspiracy to commit murder, and assault with a deadly weapon with the intent to murder. 2 years after Malachi Taub's acquittal, he moved Kaliani Tempes, she returned to her maiden name, and Kaliani's 3 children to the Philippines, to the island of Cebu. There on one of Cebu's west coast beaches, Malachi and Kaliani opened a bar for tourists. It has now been more than 35 years since Malachi Taub was acquitted of Henry Trifetti's murder. I just checked. The website for the Orange County Sheriff's Department still lists the murder as unsolved.